Disclaimer. The views and opinions you hear expressed by the participants in the show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show. I think you will. Welcome to Ancast. I'm Zach Burchie. Jacob's here, as usual.
Hey there.
And joining us this week, we see, I'm sticking to this format. I wasn't joking around. I wasn't fooling. We really are going to try and do this every week. Joining us this week, you know her from Forbes.com. She's the she's a writer there, and also she covers a couple of things for us, and she's sort of our Gundam expert. It's Lauren Orsini. Lauren, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And people can also find your website at
otakujournalist.com.
They sure can. Lauren's a pretty well-known anime journalist at this point. I feel like I see your name more often now in conjunction. Like, if there's an article by a giant publication, I feel like your name is floating around there somewhere.
I think my greatest accomplishment is including Donald Trump and anime porn in a Forbes article.
Oh, that was you. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, there you go, right? Instant fame. Okay, so that was you, the big article on Forbes that covered the Trump anime thing, which at this point feels like 10 years ago.
Yeah. Wow, was that back in January?
Yeah. Quite a while ago.
Yeah, since then we've gotten mad at so many other anime things, like the Ghost in the Shell movie and what else have we been angry about lately?
There's been several controversies since then. But we've kind of been watching some anime. Jacob, what have you been watching lately?
Just a lot of the same stuff. I'm currently keeping up with. I did the final tally, and intermittently or week to week, depending on my enthusiasm, I am technically keeping up with 19. Things.
Right.
Right. So I mean, like, all of that is continuing to go. Things have been good. The most recent thing that stuck out to me was we just recently had the Genro Ibuchi episode of Concrete Revolution.
Okay, so this was a thing, right? So he wrote one episode of that show.
Right, which that show has always had, like, Shoei Aikawa is a showrunner, and it's very obviously, like, in his voice, but they have, it's very episodic, and so they have other people brought in for guest episodes, and it shows, like, because the tone will change very quickly. And so Genro Ibuchi had his episode, and it was grim and bleak and sad and dark, and, you know, so of course it's his. I can kind of imagine. So that show, Concrete Revolution, for those who don't know, is entirely based around major cultural and historical events in the 1960s in Japan. Or in the world at large. So each episode is like a different major thing from the 60s or significant thing from the 60s with, like, what if they were superheroes or kaiju or ghosts or whatever the case may be in that historical event, and how would it, and using that to, like, illustrate a point about what the author thinks about that time period. That's the basic setup of the show. So you can imagine a bunch of people sitting around a table going, all right, who's going to do the Vietnam War episode? And I just imagine, like, everybody's head slowly turning to Genro Ibuchi. And that's very much what happens. And it was great. It was fantastic. It makes me absolutely miss his writing a lot. And I was trying to go into it like, maybe this will suck, maybe it won't be any good. It was great. Like, that guy is crazy talented. So it was a, without spoiling anything, it was about the Vietnam War, and it was a play on Rambo. Specifically, all the characters' names were based off of stuff from Rambo, and it was all sort of in the service of Urobuchi's, current bugaboo seems to be talking about how terrible imperialism is. And so it's just this awful, like, the Vietnam War was an effort of imperialism by America, like, this very mean, like, angry, like, America's need to stamp out the cultures of other countries when they do this stuff, kind of a thing. Like, and it was brutal and hard to watch, but kind of fun still, too, because the Rambo stuff is funny, and then like the main character who's going through all this is like a G.I. Joe. Like he's a cyborg, it's called the Joe program, and literally his cyborg parts are segmented just like a G.I. Joe's, and he like takes off the arms of the other G.I. Joe's and puts them on him, and so that he's in the form of like a Asherah, a Shiva or something like that, and it's like, oh my god, this is crazy. So it's great. So I wish that he had written more episodes than just one of Concrete Revolutio, but for my money, that's the best episode of Concrete Revolutio, and yeah, pretty much.
Awesome. Yeah, I want to watch Concrete Revolutio. I feel like we're going to do a podcast on that not fairly soon, after the summer, more than likely, definitely after it's over, yeah. For sure. I'm excited to watch that, though. It sounds like there's like every episode has a lot to unpack.
Yeah, the only problem is, and the reason that I'm like, I still watch it because I'm interested in that, but I'm not like... in love with the show, I'm not enthusiastic about it because usually it's more confusing and oblique than it is powerful or engaging because it just gets so, I don't know, like they didn't really delve into or develop the characters. They're just sort of talking like obliquely about big historical events that you may or may not be familiar with, and they didn't really do the heart stuff of character development, and so it can fall flat. But when it's good, it's really good. When it's not, it's just sort of like, guys, you know. So I don't know.
Right, yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, it sounds like maybe I would... Would it be better week to week, or do you think...
I think it
doing
might be
in
better
big chunks
to cram it.
Yeah. And cram it all in one time. Okay, all right. That's what I'm good at. all right, cool. So, Lauren, you cover... Week to week, you cover Ushio and Tora for the site.
I do. And, you know, I remember when... this was that time that I was kind of late on picking what I wanted to watch. I was just kind of busy at work, and I'm like, I don't know, Zach. You just pick two that I can cover.
Uh-huh.
Like, okay, well, here's Ushio and Tora. I'm like, okay, never heard of this. And it's one of my favorite shows now.
It's really good. It's really good. I didn't watch the whole thing. I watched a few at the beginning, and then Jacob, I watched the most recent episode with Jacob. That was the most recent one, right? Or one from 2 weeks ago?
Second most recent. It's the one where the big bad comes out of the ocean, and it looks like all hope is lost, and it was that one.
Yeah, I watched that, and it was really compelling. I admittedly, watching that episode by itself made me feel like, well, I don't really need to see the rest of this.
Yeah,
like, this is clearly the climax, and I got what was happening, so...
Yeah, most of that episode is a recap of where everybody else is in the show and what all the stakes were actually leading towards. So it's like, even if you didn't watch it at all, you kind of get the Cliff's Notes, and it's like, oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It was really good, though, and I really loved the design of the bad guy, and the voice was amazing. Like, really, really, really well done. But so you were not familiar, you'd never seen the OVA or read the manga or anything.
No, I came into it just like, okay, what's this?
Right, okay. And was it generally in your warehouse? I mean, like, so there's like subgenre, like yokai is kind of a subgenre. Mm-hmm. I've never been that into it.
I love it.
I've never, yeah, I know you totally love it. Yeah. I've never been that into it. Were you ever like a yokai genre person, Lauren?
Well, I love like Mushishi, Natsume's Book of Friends. I guess that kind of counts, but those seem like such different shows. For me, the reason I liked Ushio and Tora was I'm like, yeah, this is like 90s anime. I mean, it is. I mean,
yeah.
The OVAs are from the 90s, and they've kept that style. And if you're feeling nostalgic for that, or if you're like, why are old-timers always talking about how great 90s anime was? I mean, this really gives you a feel for that.
Right. Yeah, 100%. I love the way that, like, so it doesn't have a massive animation budget or anything, though. The show looks great. I do really like even though the show completely over-relies on it, like, there's a lot of, like, thick outline close-ups
right. That
really bring the art style home. Because, like, that, I'm sure that they don't have the time or the resources to make that particular illustrative style really move, like, really convincingly.
Yeah, they get, every once in a while there's a cut that's really impressive, and apart from that they're just like, okay, just make the shots and the sound design and everything like as spot on to the 90s style as possible, except not as slow paced, which is good.
Yeah, so. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's only what, like 40 some, it's gonna wind up being like 40 some episodes total.
Yeah, like 39 or something.
Yeah, which isn't bad for a shonen thing, you know, for something that's generally, you know, I guess you could call it kind of long running. I mean, that's long for an anime.
If it had been nowadays. If it had been made at the same, if it had been in, made in like 1994, it would have been like 140 episodes.
Yeah, right. So this is just a nice condensed,
yeah,
like Cliff's Notes version. So are you going to seek out any other versions, or are you just going to stick with this one? I mean, what would be the point, right?
Yeah, I definitely haven't wanted to, like, read the manga right now, because I want to go into it surprised each week.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, afterward, I think it would be really cool, because every week I see people who are like, oh, yeah, but they slightly changed this from the manga, and I'm like, oh, well, it wouldn't be, like, just watching it all over again to read the manga.
Right, exactly, yeah. I don't really do that either, where, like, I really loved the show, and the manga's exactly like it. They're like, oh, you should read the manga. It's like, why? Like, I do have limited time on this earth. Consume the exact same story in two different formats. Like, what's the point? Mm-hmm. Unless it was, like, life-alteringly great. Mm-hmm. Then I'll do both. Yeah. Well, I don't know. How do you feel about that, Lauren?
I don't know. I'm trying to... it just made me think of shows where I have read the manga as well as watched it.
Yeah.
And how I'm like, oh, well, this is about to happen. I wonder how they're going to portray this. And then I always feel a little bit let down. I'm like, no, that wasn't exactly the same. What are they doing?
But, so you kind of checklist it. You're kind of sitting there. Yeah, all right.
This way I can really appreciate it for what it is and how they choose to portray it.
Right,
I really liked, like, how sparse it is. Like, I feel like over and again, they do these monochromatic scenes where, like, everything will be purple or everything will be green. I think I've mentioned this in at least, like, 30 of my 34 different reviews.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it does that thing where it'll just be a black outline of somebody's rage face. There's a lot of rage in Ushiontor. It is a, like, shonen back when shonen was more like seinen sort of thing, which means it's full of tears of blood and anger and, like, horrible things happening to good people. And, like, so there's a lot of stuff where it's, like, deep charcoal outlines of somebody's screaming face and their eyes are white and it's all, like, green or whatever. Or it's all red or it's all purple. And it's, you know... And that you don't see that style done anymore. That is something associated very much with the 90s. And so it's neat to see now. Like, you don't... shows like Ushiontor aren't made anymore, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. I'm not like, oh, anime used to be better. It just used to be different, and it's something that, it's an aesthetic that I wouldn't want everything to look like, but I do miss, so one show like Ushiontor is good. Especially because the pacing is not, like, the worst thing about those 90s anime is the pacing, per se. Like, you know, you wish it was faster, and so this is, like, the pace that it needs to be.
Absolutely. So, you know.
Right.
I totally get where you're coming from. I don't think you're, like, get off my lawn.
Yeah.
Yeah, never a good place to be. Get off my own. Are you watching anything else? Like, not for the site. Are you watching anything else yourself this season, or have you been watching anything else?
Yeah, pretty much everything. But, I mean, I realized this weekend that it's not really what you're watching, it's who you watch it with. Because I had a really amazing anime experience this weekend where I showed clips of Haven't You Heard I'm Sakamoto and Flying Witch to a group of kids who invited me to speak about my career with them. Mm-hmm. And they were all, some had learning disabilities, some were gifted and talented, some were on the autism spectrum, and they all loved anime. And I intentionally showed them stuff from this season because I knew they wouldn't have watched it. I mean, they were all, like, big fans of Soul Eater and Pokemon and all that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, let's just watch something you kids have not seen. And they loved it. It just made me love anime again.
And you're teaching these kids to get into the lucrative field of writing about anime?
Oh, my goodness.
Lauren, I have to tell you, that doesn't... I mean, I just gotta say, that doesn't seem like great advice.
I let them know that writing about anime isn't the only thing I do.
Yeah.
Or even one of six.
Yeah, like, right.
Seven, eight.
Right. Yeah, that's cool, though. That's really awesome that you got to go do that. I mean, so they responded to it pretty well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just talked about, like, does Sakamoto seem like a nice guy? You know, you gotta get into reviews early. See, right. I'm training people for Anime News Network.
Oh, geez.
When I want to retire.
Well, so you said you're watching just about everything? So you're consuming a tremendous amount of this season?
Yeah, I'm watching the two I mentioned. I'm watching Bungo Stray Dogs. I'm actually watching Shonen Maid, Don't Hate. Right. My Hero Academia
I'm watching it too,
is my favorite.
So I'm not going to hate. I'm watching Shonen Maid as well.
Yeah, I was worried after Super Lovers, but I really like it. And what else? Gundam Unicorn, which I think, like, nobody's watching since it's really just a retelling of the DVDs, the Blu-rays.
Right.
And what else? Joker Game. Just a lot of things.
Obviously, that's a lot. Yeah, I didn't know you watched quite that much. Usually, typically, like, you know, when we have a lot of people writing for the site doing daily streaming reviews, and usually I found that they typically stay within their 3 to 4 shows and then pick like 1 or 2 more. But to go after that much, that's impressive. But I guess you kind of have to in your line of work.
Lauren, I don't know if you're watching this, but if you weigh in, what's better, Sakamoto or Tanaka-kun, if you're watching both of those?
I watched the first episode of Tanaka-kun, and it didn't really grab my attention. All I'm right. just like, he's sleepy. I'm going to fall asleep, and I did.
Yeah, right, me too. I'm with you. Yeah.
No, I agree. That first episode.
He's tired.
Yeah, that first episode's not good. A lot of people had picked it up after that, so I wasn't sure. But I for some reason, there's a lot of comparisons between the two. I guess because it's one trait cute boy in a comedy. I think that's why people are comparing. But they have nothing in common apart from that. So I was just curious.
Every time I watch Sakamoto, I keep thinking of Cromarty High School. Maybe it's his uniform or all the juvenile delinquents.
It's absurdist comedy. They're both like. Sort of weird non sequitur is the joke a lot of the time. So I mean,
yeah, it's paced the comic timing and the type of comedy it engages in is actually really really similar. Sakamoto, I mean, I can't watch it. I read the comics. Yeah, I read the it's a low resources version of the comics. Mm-hmm. Like it's not well animated. It's like the comic timing is snappy and it's funny. But so is the manga, and I can read that manga way faster.
Yeah,
so
you already know all the punchlines.
Yeah.
I'm keeping myself fresh, so it's still funny to me. And the music sting, whoever came up with is like, okay, this music has to be funny every single time we play it for when Sakamoto, like when the punchline lands after 5 minutes of what's going to happen, the punchline's going to land, and we have to use the same. They use the same music sting every time. Every time it's funny. So whoever came up with that music with the. It's really, really perfect for... It has not gotten old yet, so...
That's funny. All right. So, the thing we were definitely going to get to this week was Cabinary of the Iron Fortress, which I hadn't really watched yet beyond the first episode, and is popular? I can't tell. Is it?
It seems to be.
People talk about it.
Given the number of people who are rating it, I mean, it's popular in Japan, definitely. It's the most watched anime in Japan right now. Over here, it's one of our highest rated things.
Okay, all right.
But not highest rated. I mean, it is. It's
well, I haven't looked at like the traffic for the streaming reviews or anything, which I'm sure would tell me the story. So I guess I should just look at that. But
I've seen a ton about it on Twitter.
Yeah,
and I watched the first 2 episodes specifically for this podcast.
Oh, okay,
and,
great.
Tweeted
thank you.
About it, and a lot of people responded to that tweet or liked it. So I mean, it seems like a lot of people agree that. They enjoyed the show.
Yeah, it seems popular. All right, that's good. The thing is, it's impossible to really get a handle on it because all of my popularity metrics are what's on Crunchyroll, what's on what appears to be doing okay on Crunchyroll, and what appears to be doing okay on Funimation, you know, that kind of thing. So this being on Amazon Prime is super inconvenient, and it makes it really hard to figure out because Amazon buries it. Like, buries this thing. It is never advertised on their front page. Or really anywhere. In fact, I don't think I've ever seen an ad for Cabinary anywhere at all. Mm-hmm. I think, like we do all the advertising for Cabinary for them, I guess. Because we cover it every week, but...
I didn't even know the name. I thought I called it... Like, I heard Attack on Trains every time I heard of it. And then I realized, hey, has anyone seen... What is it?
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, the anime fan ecosystem is so tied into Crunchyroll, Funimation, and the usual places that one thing being outside of that ecosystem means our bubble ignores it. It feels like they're ignoring it almost completely.
Right.
I'm sure the piracy on this one is off the charts.
It must be insane.
And half the people that normally talk about anime don't subscribe to Amazon Prime and so don't want to talk about it because they're pirating it. You know, like that weird dichotomy that people have.
That's what I say. It must be insane because I actually
Amazon
do see
Cabinary and like a bunch of piracy sites came up. Like Amazon didn't even come up on the first page. I'm like, what the heck? I had to find it on Amazon.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, that's how I know it. Like, it must be pulling a lot of people because a lot of people are discussing it, and I know, like, this is, like, people who don't have Amazon Prime, so, like, the piracy must be, like, just insane for that show because people are talking about it, and not in a way that, like, so Ajin was a thing that, like, a lot of people did like, or at least discussed later, but it was like after it was out on Netflix. Prior to that, not a whole lot of people were talking about following it. Everybody's talking about following this week to week, and it's like, do you guys have Amazon? Because I don't think you do. Like, so the discussion around it is pretty high, which is weird. It is like, I wonder how much bigger this would be if Crunchyroll or Funimation had gotten it. But as it is, it's kind of surprising how many people are talking about it.
Yeah, it bothers me that it was an exclusive there. How often does that happen?
This is one of the first times, if not the first, a total exclusive lockdown simulcast for Amazon. I'm pretty sure this is the first one. And, I mean, I don't have take that big of an issue with this stuff because I just sort of expect it to happen. Like, that market's going to get a little more fragmented and bigger players are going to come in. It's always a fight for content and stuff like that. Like, I just sort of expected it to happen. The problem is that, like, it's just that it's not visible at all on Amazon. And I'm concerned with, like, the thing I would hate is here's a show that could totally be a giant hit, and it's in some place that took it as an exclusive where it's invisible and no one ever gets to see it. That's my concern. I don't want to see good shows wind up lost to fucking obscurity in the backwater, like, warehouse of Amazon Prime behind 400 episodes of Law & Order or whatever.
Yeah. You know, you're right. I don't know why I'm upset about it, because I never get upset about, like, Crunchyroll having an exclusive, and that's exactly it. It's like... people don't know to look there.
Yeah, they don't really know. So that's my only concern with it. But otherwise, it's like, look, we live in a capitalist country. They can enter into that market if they want to. One of my other big things is that I hope they don't just wade into the market and fuck it up for everyone because they have billions of dollars and don't have to care. That's what I don't want to happen. But if that show could be a huge hit, I would hate to think that it was robbed of some popularity by being on a place where people don't even know to look for new anime, you know. But so I watched like five of these, and I gotta say, it is. I kept thinking to myself, why are they small? They're supposed to be big. someone's using different. They're not.
Where's their 3D maneuver gear?
Someone's using different swords. She's still flying around, but she's just using different swords. Is that a new character that has new swords? That's what I kept. I kept thinking that I was watching Attack on Titan, but someone had screwed up the production design and had drawn everything wrong. That's what I thought. And I'm not being sarcastic. My brain literally kept going there. Like, oh, that's wrong. Why are they outside? Why are they on a train? Eventually, I got used to it, and the show is a perfectly fine action show that looks really, really great for that sort of thing. I didn't have much of an emotional reaction to it, and I didn't think it was super exciting. So it didn't, like, really grab me. But that could just be because I find the color palette a little drab, and I'm picky about that sort of thing. I don't know. It's all right. Well, Jacob, you're totally in love with it, so...
Well, yeah, although I wouldn't say that I have an emotional connection to it either. It is... I am excited for it in the same way that I am excited for, like... a really, I really kick-ass, like, big-budget kind of movie. Like,
Which I totally get.
Yeah.
It looks great.
Mm-hmm. But
yeah, can we talk about how it looks? Okay, you go first, Jake.
I think the thing that stands out to me about, apart from Attack on Titan, like, Attack on Titan, I do attach, very early, I attached to the characters and the story on a deeper level, where I was like, oh, this is actually kind of saying some profound shit, and it's coming from a dark place. Cabinary is like, this sort of, like, It's Independence Day. Like, it is like, yeah, humanity's not going to go down that easy, and we're going to kick some ass and take some names, and it's colorful, too. Like, Attack on Titan is sort of this, like, dead world, and it's more interesting. It seems like it kind of it was kind of unearthed out of the ground, and it's sort of bookish and literary, and, like, you know, it doesn't have that, like, woo, kick-ass thing to it. Cabinary is, like, it is pure strain Hollywood. Like, it is, the color, a lot of it is brown, but there's also some really bold color choices in specific spots. Like, there'd just be pure blue and white and, like, deep purples and pinks and stuff like that. And, I don't think it looks very much like Attack on Titan. I think if the production design had been like Attack on Titan, that it would have bothered me more. But it looks so different. It looks like trying to make a TV version of Princess Mononoke sort of a thing. And so, yeah, I think that's cool. But I don't... tonally, it's just so different from Attack on Titan in that it's not trying for much in the way of depth. It's just sort of trying to be fun. And yeah, I that's kind of what I'm in love with. But it's not like, oh, the story speaks to me. It's just, it's nerd action hero and butt kicking, but not in a gross way, cool girl and fighting zombies. That's it, you know. And it's really, yeah. But it's really cool.
Yeah, which is totally fine. I don't want to suggest that, like, yeah, it's not enough for me. I was just sitting there thinking, like, this sure is fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, if any of these people die, I couldn't tell you it would bother me that much because I feel like I don't know any of them and, you know, all that sort of thing. But, yeah, I don't know. The similarities to Attack on Titan were, they were a little too much for me, I think. It really just felt like I was watching a slightly altered version of that show. Well, less depressing, for sure. Like, less, like, woe is, like, woe unto humanity sort of a thing.
Yeah, if somebody dies in Cabaneria, it's like, did you see how he exploded? You know, Attack on Titan, it's like, oh no. Like, there's a sort of a subliminal horror to it. Cabaneria, it's just like, well, he was an idiot anyway, and he blew up. Like, the tone is very different.
Yeah, right.
Another difference about the tone is that you really feel like they really got this covered. I've only watched two episodes, but already they found a way to kill them pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And also how to cure whatever is wrong. This is all episode one. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's like nothing. That's not spoilers, is it?
No. No.
Okay. I mean, there's like, it's like, okay, we already see the solutions. Now I guess the rest of the show is going to be implementing these solutions. Like, humanity is fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. That's what they should have called it.
Humanity's fine.
Let's Humanity's okay. Humanity has ascended.
Yeah, well, the
and on that day, humanity received a helpful reminder.
The things aren't so bad after all. And, yeah, it is like that, where the immediate threat of the zombies is more... it has to kind of go bigger. Like, in Attack on Titan, one Titan is enough to kind of be like, oh, shit, like, you're really scared, and it's sort of like this intimate horror of like one person scrabbling away from a Titan that's maybe like only 10 feet tall, but it's still going to eat you. And Cabaneria, because the threat isn't really as strong and because it really does feel like people can break through this, they have to build a giant like blobby monster out of literally thousands of zombie bodies that waddles around like a Ghibli monster. And then it's like, oh no. And even then it's not like, I'm genuinely scared. It's like, oh, this is going to be so good when they finally blow that thing up. Like, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I feel like even if they get hurt, if they're a main character, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll be okay.
I've only seen two episodes, though. I mean, maybe some main characters start to die. Who knows? But the art, I when I saw the close-ups of the girls' faces, all I could think was it's painterly. It reminded me of God Eater. Mm-hmm. The way that... Like, you could take stills of it and just, like, sell that to put on your wall. I just, like, it's kind of glossy, maybe a little watercolory.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
There was apparently a new, I saw this in passing, there's a new animation technique that they're using for the faces. There's an overlay that, basically, they have a skin tone for the face. Mm-hmm. And then there's some sort of, they're using CG to put in some sort of blush overlay makeup for the girls, so there's like the distinct difference between the lip like the lip texture and the face texture, and then for the guys it's more like this underlying blush. It, like, you know, the redness in your skin comes from blood vessels like under the skin. That's going to change the tone of the color of your actual skin a little bit depending on how you're feeling and stuff like that. So they're basically doing that in order to make the faces feel more like touchable, I guess, for lack of a better word. And that's interesting. Like, that's interesting to me. The show is very much more like, if Attack on Titan is more about like the feelings of the author when he wrote it and it just happens to be directed well, Cabaneria is like the story's, you know, whatever. It's a boilerplate story. They got all the stuff right. It's like likable characters. It's not too anime. It's nice and big budget, like, familiar archetypes, but mostly they're concerned with what new ways can we direct this action, what new ways can we draw these characters. Like, it's mostly an exercise in spectacle and direction, kind of above the story. And the story, but that would be a problem if the story was bad, but the story is very, very consistent. They're doing a good job developing these characters and kind of letting you into their feelings and how, and it even has a theme. Like, the show has a dedicated theme. It's about a thing, But none of that is very deep. It's all puddle deep, but it's consistent. It's like, you know, it's not poorly done or forgotten about.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that shading technique is super cool. I kind of hope that more shows do it. Because it makes the show look crazy expensive.
Right. And we don't know what Cabaneri costs, but it really does look like, oh, you're trying to make a Ghibli movie like on a week-to-week television budget. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's pretty nuts. But yeah, I feel like that is the big standout thing about that show is how great it looks. Mm-hmm. And that's good. But you know what? That's enough. Like, I would love a movie of this where it's not 13 episodes of the story. Right. Like, just a movie, I feel like that would be fine.
I'm sure they will make one.
Yeah, they'll probably make one. Like, obviously, the animation's pretty close to theatrical quality, so, you know, I don't know. Any other observations on that one, Lauren? You going to keep watching it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm going to watch more tonight.
Oh, all right, then. Okay, so we have a new... I think I'm going to wait and see how it wraps up. And then, here's a shocker, watch it after people tell me it's good. Right. I don't know, man, something about it. I was just like, the action is good, this looks great. I don't know, man, maybe I'm just not in the mood for another one of these, and it is totally another one of those.
Yeah, you're not in the mood for, like, a Michael Bay Miyazaki movie right now, which is what it is.
Yeah, that's a weird...
Yeah, it's Michael Bay took the script for Princess Mononoke and goes, you know what, I want to do this. And it's like, well, that's stupid, but people will love it. That's what it is.
All right. Okay. All right. So, Lauren, were there any other shows standing out to you this season you wanted to get to before we get to these questions?
I mean, I'm just watching so much. Let's get to the questions.
Okay. All right, then. That sounds great. You know what?
Probably be about shows I'm watching.
That sounds great to me. All right. So, first from Final Fury. Okay. No, wait. First from Rogue of Space. Are either of you planning on checking out the last Witcher 3 DLC? I think I've moved on from The Witcher 3, so probably not, sadly. I don't know. Lauren, where are you playing that? Is that...
Nope. No, is that similar to...
Oh, okay. I thought they asked that because you were playing that, but you're not, so there's no reason for me to answer that question. Okay, anyway. Moving on. all right. Invalid Name
I'm asks, playing Drake's Nathan Drake number 4, Upper Body Strength Power.
Oh, are you? Yeah. I put that down.
Okay.
I got about halfway through it.
Motion sickness.
I was so bored. And I started getting motion sickness. But
it's so pretty!
I was so bored. The first half is so boring. Like, I know it picks up. I know it gets better. I know the story gets more exciting. But, oh man, dude, wait, you can't deny it, man. Those first, like, 5, 7, 8 hours, not so good.
Wait, are you talking about number 4?
I'm talking about Uncharted 4. Okay, alright, okay.
I have much lower standards, I guess. If you give me, like, a beautiful jungle background and some, like, treasures to hunt for, I'm fine.
Did you play the others?
Yeah, all of them.
And this doesn't seem like...
Worse?
Like,
no,
it's not... No,
I
not, like,
really
worse.
Cool to learn, like, his background and this brother that was slightly off-screen for the last three, and...
Slightly, yeah, somewhere to the left of him.
You know,
just
the brother
off-screen
that you have, Nathan. You know,
yeah.
The brother.
I'm gonna acknowledge I'm complete outlier on Uncharted 4. Like, I started playing it and was like, man, this is not that... Like, it's like a television show on CBS that I occasionally play.
It's escapism for those of us who can't do a single pull up.
I don't know, man.
Plays this guy with, like, we assume 6-inch deep calluses on his fingers.
Well, no one can do any of that stuff.
I don't. Like, so we like, he has gecko fingers, right? That's what it is.
Yeah, sure, something like that. I don't know. What we know is on his hands is blood and lots of it.
How many people is he?
Millions
killed?
Dead at the
so
hands of Nathan
Drake. Dead. Because he wanted treasure.
Well, I know I'm an outlier on that, Lauren. You're totally in the majority. The writing just fucking puts me
Why
to sleep.
Why does that make me feel, like, less cool?
Wait, no. It's just the writing just puts me to sleep. That's it.
Oh, I don't know. Like, I've been following it for so long. I follow all the artists on Twitter. These ladies are amazing.
Yeah, man. I'm with you. I respect
great,
the whole enterprise. I have nothing but those people are artisans beyond my wildest imagination.
Okay, well, whatever. We can agree to disagree.
It's an incredible piece of
anime. It's about a video game.
Commercial art.
Differing opinions.
I didn't think that Lauren was going to come on my podcast and start a fight about video games. I didn't think. I didn't think it was going to be like that. No, I'm used to being wrong about Uncharted. all right, here's a question for you. Invalid Name wants to know, how big is the gunplay scene in the U.S. anyway? Is it growing or shrinking? Now, I'm just saying, the answer to this is growing, but please go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I saw this on Twitter, and I was like, I believe it's growing, but how would I actually quantify that? How would I say it?
Because,
I think a big sign is that they're bringing all these Gundam shows over.
Well, the other sign is that I ran an interview with Bluefin about a month ago where they said, Gundam is our number one growing, expanding property, and we're expanding it even more this year, and they just announced a competition for it and everything. And
oh, no friggin' way. That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's how it's...
that's how we can quantify
their
sales numbers.
Yeah. those are selling really well. You see them everywhere now. Like, I see them in the mall, not at bootleg stores. I see them at...
Yeah, like Barnes & Noble.
Well, not just Barnes & Noble, but other specialty retailers in the mall that typically, like, that also sell nerd stuff, but it, like, surprisingly not bootleg stores. Like, I'm surprised. Like, it's legitimate product. So, yeah, it's totally growing. Well, your personal experience is obviously, like, you've been doing a lot more with it, too, lately, right?
Yeah, my personal experience is that it's based on it. You know, I blog that I run, Gunpla101.com.
Right.
And, I mean, the traffic is getting really big.
Yeah. All right. Congratulations.
So that could be a sign, though a lot of my readers are in the Philippines, where Gunpla is huge, apparently.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we figured that out, too.
Just, like, build Gunpla with people.
Yep. And in Southeast Asia. That that exists, and yep. Okay. All right. Okay, Really Ellie asks, since you're a baseball fan, what are your favorite baseball anime? And what sets them apart?
I mean, you know, I still haven't watched Ace of the Diamond. And I haven't watched any baseball anime. I watched a baseball game yesterday, but only because it reminds me of sports anime. All these healthy young men sweating and experiencing teamwork.
All right, then.
Teamwork is what they're experiencing.
All right, then.
Uh-huh. No, I mean... I love sports anime, especially Yaomushi Petal. That should be a surprise to nobody.
Right, yeah.
And I'm running a 10K next weekend.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. I haven't run it yet.
No, but you've obviously been training, and you're going to go do it, so that's something to be really proud of. That's really great.
Yeah, but I made a playlist especially for this 10K that's all sports anime openings, because that's... I mean, that's what I love about sports anime. It gets you out there, too.
You wanted your run to be on brand.
Well, it's just like, hey, look at these guys training so hard. It's always guys. I know there's a really cool girls lacrosse manga that I need to read, but
well, Princess Nine is a
manga.
Princess Nine is a good baseball anime if you ignore the ending.
I'll have to check it out.
The ending where literally a man swoops in and steals the game from them and they lose, but it's okay because a man. But the rest of Princess Nine is really great.
All right. So. Oh, and of course, Prince of Tennis, where Ryoma, the main character, the Prince of Tennis himself, has a brother who was slightly off screen until the movie.
Yeah.
And then we never hear about him again. Mm-hmm. And that's why the Prince of Tennis is just like Drake's Fortune.
There's a lot of just off-screen brothers.
Thief's End, excuse me.
That's like a new thing. It's going to be a new cliche we all get used to is, oh, hey, this is movie 6, and hey, he has a brother you didn't know about. What?
Surprise!
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, when I saw Crunchyroll was putting up the Yamashii Petal movie, I'm like, oh, I bet Oneida has a brother we've never met. He's an even better biker.
All right, moving on. AngelXL3 asks, what are your thoughts on Kyoani's contest? Do you think they should have given a winner regardless? No, they shouldn't, because it's Kyoani's contest, and they do what they want to do. I never understood the idea that the Oscars are supposed to capitulate to public demands, or that Kyoani's animation contest is supposed to do what the fans want. It's their contest. There are a bunch of people who get together and decide whether or not they want to... It's like the Nobel Commission or whatever. This is a private group that gets together and gives out awards. It's not like the People's Choice Awards. It's just that there really are no anime, like, yearly anime awards that get given out no matter what. So people... What I feel like this is illustrating is that there's an appetite for something like that, and it doesn't exist yet. It's not really anything to do with what KONE is or isn't doing. but there's an appetite for a yearly anime award thing that people take seriously and participate in. Mm-hmm. Who knows even who would do something like that, but that's kind of what I took away from it. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Jacob?
Oh, well, you're forgetting about the American Anime Awards.
No, I'm not. I was there for that.
Yeah, no,
it just doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, that's a joke. No, I feel like the appetite is there, but it's hard to say. Like, I feel like with anime, it's like, well, who do you get to be an authority on that? Is it in Japan? Probably should be. But then, it's not for us as an audience. You know, it's kind of, I don't know. I feel like it's just harder to organize that sort of a thing.
Right. Yeah, it's not easy to do. No one will agree to whoever, like, no one will agree to voting rules. Most people will argue that it should be a public vote, but that's kind of useless because then it's internet polls, which will just get rigged. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's really tough to pull that off, and I don't think there's a way to really make money with it, so I don't think anyone's really going to dump a lot of time into it. What you'd have to get is the industry coming together and deciding that they wanted to collectively, this would be good for them, and they would have to collectively come together and make a thing, which I would be all for. And in fact, like, ANN would be the sort of organization to spearhead something like that.
Yeah,
if we had time and resources and people to do something like that on top of everything we're already doing, to which the answer is, of course, we don't. But boy, that would be cool. But anyway, let's see here. Pavo Killer 8 asks, thoughts on the new Mighty Number 9 trailer? Okay. Jacob, did you look at the Mighty Number 9 trailer?
I did not.
Lauren, did you look at the Mighty Number 9 trailer?
Did not.
Okay. I'm assuming people in the chat did. It is one of the most embarrassing game trailers. I can't believe they released it like that. And I can't believe that game looks like that. It looks like a fucking GameCube game. Like, okay. All right, I don't want to... Watch that trailer and be amazed. I feel like you can just watch that trailer. It will tell you everything you need to know. Okay, all right. Kaylin Evergreen asks...
I'm looking at it right now.
Okay.
You mentioned it, so I can... that looks like a fucking GameCube game is what that looks like.
Yeah, dude.
So this was.
Wait till they show like the models up close and everything, like cutscene models. Yeah. And their mouths don't move.
Well, and this was kickstarted for like how much?
Oh yeah, like millions, right? Yeah. Something like that. This was one of the most successful Kickstarters. Yeah. Woof. It looks like a turd, but I don't know. Who knows?
I'm so ready to watch this, but everyone will hear it in an echo if I do.
No, I just get it muted, but like...
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Wow. So this is something. Something to me.
Yeah,
totally. Oh, man, those explosions.
Yeah, everyone says they look like pizza, which they do.
Yeah, they do.
All right. Kaylin Evergreen asks, any speculation on why manga content underperforms on ANN? Actually, I have no idea. I'd love to figure that out. We'd love to crack that content, but it turns out when people look for manga on the internet, they just want to read manga. So it's like reading about manga is a little less of a thing. And in fact, like, I don't know of a big site that does like tons and tons of manga news and reviews and subsists on that. Like, I don't know of one. So it's a smaller market than anime, and it definitely generates less traffic than anime does. I know that. I'd love it if it did more and we could do more with manga, but, yeah, I don't know. Let's see. A lot of video game questions here. Did you ever get to Rise of the Tomb Raider? Nope. Didn't. Yellow Redfield asks, what are your hopes, if any, for the upcoming Berserk anime that will finally move it beyond the eclipse? Okay, so, Lauren, are you a Berserk person?
Nope.
No. Jacob?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so are you excited about this? Or are you just skeptical and wary like me?
It's cel-shaded CG, so I've kind of written it off. Like, I'm going to watch it, I'm going to look at it, but it's cel-shaded CG, and also, like, I have the very unpopular opinion that Berserk's natural ending point was basically right after the eclipse, and that it seems weird to me and pointless to me that the manga kept going for as long as it did. It seemed to me like, okay, after you have the eclipse, that is the turning, like, those characters have such strong, well-defined arcs in a triangle with one another, that it seems really strange to me to have the eclipse and then have it go on and on and on. It's like, no, like, Griffith has reached the peak of his arc. Like, he has to fall after this or whatever. And Griffith is... Not Griffith. I just said him. And Guts is the same way. And Casca is out of the story. Like, until she recovers, she's kind of out of the story. And I don't want to see chapters and chapters of her just laying there traumatized. That's terrible. So I don't really need to see that stuff. Like, to me, it's kind of superfluous. It's kind of like after the eclipse, I just make up an ending where Griffith and Guts, like, fight it out. And, yeah. But I will look at it because I'm kind of curious about some of the stuff with, like, I wanted to know what happened to Rickett, and I want to see, like, Puck and some of that stuff. But apart from that, like, I don't know. That story going on for as long as it has is baffling to me. Like, what else are you going to do? Those characters' stories have ended. Like, you know, but that is my unpopular opinion on Berserk, so.
Episode 400, still on the pirate ship.
Now he has the armor. Like, and people mention, oh, well, he gets the Berserk armor, and that's what it's named for. I'm like, you could have gotten that, like, okay, so the first episode of the old anime, like, where he fights that guy and he gets another Bayolet or whatever, you could have had him fight some guy and fight a more important guy or whatever and get that Berserker armor, and then he fights Femto Griffith, and you have your two, like, Monster Man fight. And that's it. And Casca, she can't do anything. She's just going to lay around traumatized until one of them does or doesn't come back. And that's it. Like, I don't understand how you extend that story. It was such a tight story. Eclipse fucking ends it. So that's my opinion.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think I just want to see, like, 5 minutes of perfectly animated Berserk.
That would be great, yeah.
Perfectly animated. That's kind of it. Because what, I mean, do I need to see that whole thing animated? Like, it's the longest story in the world, and it is, like you said, most of it feels kind of superfluous.
Yeah.
So, like...
If you kill off all of the Band of the Hawk, like, it's okay, like, let's just... Another new pack of characters?
Okay,
like,
I want to clarify something here. I do find all of that stuff interesting. I love Mira's art. I'm okay with where the story goes. Mm-hmm. I like those characters. I have no problem. Like, Berserk is one of those things, like, I would love to have the entire run of it on a shelf somewhere, and I can just read it at my leisure. That would be awesome. I love it, but it's kind of perfect in its manga form. So, what I'm saying is, like, I probably wouldn't sit through hundreds and hundreds of episodes of a Berserk TV series, mm-hmm. or even, like, 50, mm-hmm. because, first of all, there's no way the animation is going to be able to bring it to life.
Right.
And the manga exists. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know.
Well, yeah, and the cel-shaded CG, it's like, oh, so I'm not going to... None of these impacts of this big sword are going to feel like... I'm not going to cringe. I mean, to cringe when that big sword hits somebody. I'm not gonna feel anything if it's CG puppet bodies. Like, I'm just not.
Yeah. I feels like we're being super negative here.
No,
it's just, like, I feel like we kind of got burned with those movies a little bit. Mm-hmm. Those movies were pretty disappointing.
Yeah.
Especially The Eclipse.
Yeah.
I thought it was super disappointing.
The first one I was like, eh, and the second one I was like, a little less, eh, and the third, The Eclipse was just ruined.
It's not so much that I'm sitting here predicting doom or saying, like, oh, this is gonna suck or whatever. It's man, they've tried this before and I feel like they didn't quite do it.
Yeah.
And they tried it again with a bigger budget, and they didn't quite do it. And I love that 90s anime. That 90s anime is really good.
Yeah.
It's really, really solidly paced. The writing is really, really good. Like, that is a good, good show. So, it's not going to be better than that. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, it'll be better than those movies, but what really are we getting? So, I guess, like, I'm just kind of conflicted about it. I'm rooting for it to succeed. I want it to do well. I want it to totally kick ass and be awesome. That would be great. But, yeah, I can't help but be super skeptical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the further you get away from that, that original Berserk anime had almost no animation in it, but just through, you know, just through stills, basically, and amazing music, like, it was able to capture an aesthetic. It's kind of like Ushio and Toro. Ushio and Toro is much more animated than the Berserk show was, but it is capturing sort of a lost, like, gritty, dark, ugly aesthetic through that, and I think that those still images, like, those kind of haunting images and that amazing music and stuff like that did a better job of communicating what was powerful about that story than a much more fluidly animated CG models who move a lot will show. Like, I just, you know, it's a tone thing, and I don't think that adds much. So, yeah.
All I'm saying is that the new Berserk should have this.
Yes.
Yes. If they don't have this, I'll be pretty pissed off. I feel like this is classic Berserk.
Right.
Like, I think of this immediately.
Well, all of this stuff, it's like the Ushio and Tora thing. Like, it's all aesthetic that you think is lost, that you think can't be made anymore. And Ushio and Tora proved that it can be, but I don't think the Berserk show is going to capture this aesthetic. I think this aesthetic is lost to it. It's in the past.
Yeah, totally. Totally. All right. Okay.
Well,
maybe you'll make
the original Berserk more popular. Now I kind of want to watch it.
It's good. That 90s Berserk, man, that is a solid show. They handled the Guts and Griffith stuff so well in that show.
They did.
Yeah.
Just warning, Lauren, it doesn't have an ending, so just brace yourself for it. It's really good, and then it'll go, there's no ending, lol. So just,
totally.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
All right. We have time for just a few questions from the chat. If anyone has one, we can take it before we get going. All right, Tom Aznavel asks, hey, Lauren, what do you think of Gundam Unicorn's transition from OVA to TV series, editing-wise?
Hi, Tom. Okay. Well, I'm so glad you asked, except I'm not, because I don't have a very good opinion of it. I think it's kind of strange, because, not only will there be, like, these weird cliffhangers, but we started the entire TV show with a big reveal that happens at the end of the first OVA.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, there's no suspense after that. So when we start seeing this character again, we'd already seen him and who he really is. Oh, that made me so mad. And then there was something where I thought, like, they had cut to a commercial break, but no, they just had Audrey saying the same thing twice. I think it's very awkward. And I know that they added more detail to the art, like, they added more lines to Banager's hands. Ooh. I don't really care. But, I mean, I'm still watching the whole thing because I like the story.
Right. Yeah, would you say that... So I enjoyed Gundam Unicorn. When I saw, like, 3 episodes. Should I just keep watching that?
I mean, I think you should watch the OVA. I think that would be
better.
That's
what I meant. That's what I meant. I've seen 3 episodes of the OVA. I should just watch that.
Yeah, okay. I think it's better cut. Even though it's, I guess, technically old now.
Meh. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really bug me. Okay. Corey Barnes asks, happy about AX changing the policy? Yes, I'm happy about them changing their background check policy to something much more reasonable. Hopefully they will figure out a better solution next year, well in advance of the show actually starting. That's all anybody wants. Thankfully, that whole thing is over. Land of Obscusion asks, would you like to see MAPPA adapt an 80s or 70s manga in the same style as Ushio and Tora? Yeah, man. I mean, if we're going to have like 8 billion shows, then let's get some stuff that looks different. Why not, right?
Yeah. Just vive la différence. Like,
man.
I like this season because it's so diverse. Like, there's so much stuff that's completely different from all the other stuff in there. So, yeah.
Yeah, and there's so much good stuff that a lot of us just missed because it was hard to get our hands on, or we just didn't know about anime back then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
And they didn't have the budget to animate it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Ushio and Tora, if it can provide kind of a model for, like, how to do them, then great. You know, I would love to see, like, I would love for someone to try Bastard again.
Just give
it a shot, mm-hmm. You know, because you could do a lot with that, I feel like. And that Ushio and Tora style where it's just a glossier version of it, mm-hmm. I really love that look. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm totally down. More stuff like that. That'd be cool.
Bastard would have to air pretty late at night if they don't want to take out all the penises.
Yeah, well...
A lot of penises in that.
There's a lot of dicks. All right. Okay, let's see here. Okay, so final question. We can take this one, actually. JJJ asks, just before we started recording, Digital Manga announced that they are releasing the beloved classic Kodomo no Jikan as part of a Kickstarter. They're going to release all 5 volumes. They want like $127,000 to do it, which is more like ransom than Kickstarter, I feel. frankly, like, okay, so this is the standard argument. I personally find that content to be reprehensible. However, it is not illegal. It is perfectly legal, and cartoons and comic books never hurt anybody, so it should be available here if people want it. However, this seems like the best way to make it available for the people who want it. So, in terms of content, I have to admit, this seems like the best way to get it into the hands of paying customers who want it. Do I think Digital Manga maybe seized on this to make some money? Yes, I do. Yes, that is my opinion that they did that. Otherwise, frankly, I don't even want to think about it.
It's a specter that has haunted you for years, and it's coming back. Like, you thought you killed it, and it's like,
I never thought I killed it at all. And that was never my intention, frankly. It was not even close, and that entire horrible episode was blown so far out of proportion, I still boggle at it to this day. But
no, I don't mean the actual property. I mean, I thought you had killed off, like, having to talk about Kodomo no Jikan.
Yeah.
And you will always, apparently.
No.
Someday it comes back, you know, you have to talk about it.
This again. Actually, you know, if it just comes out, if they just fucking release it, then I feel like then we will never hear of it again.
Right.
And that's it, you know? Fuck. Anyway. Lauren, do you have an opinion on any of this?
I just looked up what Kodomo no Jikan was.
Okay, great.
I need to breathe it a little bit.
Can I get in trouble for that? That happened on my podcast. Is that... I'm just wondering. Okay, anyway. You're over 21,
Google,
right?
Yeah.
I gotta process.
Right. All right, well, hey, listen, that wraps us up. This turned out great, Lauren. You were an incredibly gracious and knowledgeable guest. Thank you for coming on the show. I knew it would be great, and it was, so thank you. Okay, that's our show. Big thanks to Lauren for stopping by. The theme song is Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. You can check them out at newdivisionmusic.com. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a rating or a review. We'd really appreciate it. And I'll see you all next week. Really, I will. The show will be back next week, I promise.